This is the Faith Factor Podcast. And in this, our seventh podcast, we're looking at Colossians chapter 1, verses 24 to 29.
This is a tough verse because in verse 24, Paul says, "Now I rejoice in what was suffered for you." That's not the tough part. Paul's probably thinking about the suffering of his current imprisonment because remember, he's under house arrest in Rome. Not too many places where you'll see rejoicing and suffering in the same sentence, but Paul was an unusual guy. He was a great example. But here's where it gets difficult. "Now I rejoice in what was suffered for you, and I fill up in my flesh what is still lacking in regard to Christ's afflictions, for the sake of his body, which is the church." So let's deal first with what Paul is not saying. He's not intimating that there is anything deficient or lacking in the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus. The Greek word for afflictions, Paul says Christ's afflictions or the afflictions of Christ, that word in Greek is never used in the New Testament for the Lord Jesus' death. It refers to something else. The work of the Savior is complete. And it is perfect. We could never add anything to that. The only thing we contribute is our sin. Paul is here drawing up a type of equation that Christ's sacrifice demands our service. And even if the suffering of Paul and every other believer who has ever lived could somehow be measured together, could somehow be totaled up, it would still not equal the suffering of our perfect Lamb of God. That's a sense in which it is still lacking. But because people hate Christ, they persecute those who love him, and in that sense, the afflictions directed toward Christ will not end until the world ends. Paul was a co-sufferer with the Lord Jesus, as we are sometimes called to be. And here's another dimension. When we suffer for Christ, he takes that as his suffering. Do you remember in the book of Acts, after the martyrdom of Stephen, the first martyr in the church, Acts chapter 8 tells us, "But Saul began to destroy the church. Going from house to house, he dragged off men and women and put them in prison." This is persecution of the church with a vengeance. Paul wasn't alone, but he was a kingpin in this assault by the Jews. And then chapter 9 begins, "Meanwhile, Saul was still breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples." And of course, the Lord's disciples were Jews too. He went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues in Damascus so that if he found any there who belonged to the way, whether men or women, he might take them as prisoners to Jerusalem. As he neared Damascus on his journey, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. Verse 4 says, "He fell to the ground and heard a voice say to him, 'Saul, Saul, why do you persecute them?' No. Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" It is clear from the text that the Lord Jesus, now ascended to the Father's right hand, interpreted oppression and harassment and mistreatment of his people as persecution of himself. And now, less than 3 decades later, as Saul, who we now know better as the Apostle Paul, is writing the book of Colossians, he recognizes persecution from both sides of that equation. What it means to target others for their faith, and what it means to suffer for Christ, when he says, "I fill up in my flesh what is still lacking in regard to Christ's afflictions."
The only component lacking was what Paul and others were yet to suffer in service to Christ. And that's why Paul could say in Philippians chapter 3, verse 10, "I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in his suffering, becoming like him in his death."
Verse 25, "I have become its servant by the commission God gave me to present to you the word of God in its fullness." A couple of words here that are worth defining more closely. Servant, or your Bible may say minister, is the Greek word diakonos, from which we get our English word deacon, because a deacon is a servant of the church, a minister of mercy. And then look at the word commission, or stewardship. The King James Version uses the term dispensation. The Greek term oikonomia, from which our English word economy is derived, is what's behind this. Oikonomia is a compound word. Oikos means house. Nomos means law or rules. So literally, this term, from which economy is derived, means house rules. And it refers to the administration of a home or the oversight of an estate. Sometimes proper stewardship and care of an asset belonging to another. Verse 26 begins the mystery. And the term mystery is used 27 times in the New Testament, here and again in verse 27, and then twice more in Colossians. The Greek word is mysterion, which means something previously hidden but now disclosed. And that's why Paul says in verse 26, the mystery that has been kept hidden for ages and generations, but is now disclosed to the saints. To them, God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. What was hidden in the Old Testament, although sometimes lightly hinted at, is that Jews and Gentiles would have equal footing in the New Testament church. Jews and Gentiles would be together as equal partners within the body of Christ, his spiritual family. And then Paul becomes briefly autobiographical, explaining his ministry in verse 28. We proclaim him, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom, so that we may present everyone perfect in Christ. To this end I labor, struggling with all his energy, which so powerfully works in me. Sometimes we have lame excuses for not serving the Lord. I can vividly remember a conversation with a friend from almost 30 years ago. I was with my children at a recreation site, and I bumped into my friend, and somehow our conversation, which was really only very brief, turned to living for Christ and serving the Lord. And I remember my friend saying, "When I retire, then I'm going to get serious about serving Christ." And those words are burned into my mind, because not too many years later, this healthy, good-looking, active, professional man dramatically lost his health with a debilitating disease. He was forced to retire early, and he died thereafter. But he never got to serve the Lord on his own terms. And that was a lesson to me. We are called to serve Christ now, to serve the Lord today. The way you serve him may not be the way I serve. Some serve Christ with what they are called to do within their family. Many of us serve Christ in our churches or other ministries. Some of us are very visible in our serving, and some of us are very invisible. Hardly anybody knows what it is that we're doing. But our service is never invisible to the Lord. He's the master, and we have the privilege and obligation, the opportunity and the duty to serve him. And as he said up in verse 25 in regard to the gospel, Paul said, "I have become its servant by the commission God gave me to present to you the word of God in its fullness." I think of Paul because he could have been forgiven for suspending his ministry while under house arrest in Rome. What good could he possibly do here? But he refused to do that. He refused to cave into that mindset. Why? Because to Paul, his life's purpose, his primary objective, his raison d'etre, his reason for being, his Christ-assigned mission was to be an apostle for the Lord Jesus. And he therefore looked at every situation, even these occasions that were unwelcome, that he wouldn't have chosen for himself, as God-ordained opportunities for him to serve his master. And consequently, as Luke completes the book of Acts, the last two verses of the last chapter, chapter 28, conclude the book this way. For two whole years, Paul stayed there in his own rented house and welcomed all who came to see him boldly, and without hindrance, he preached the kingdom of God and taught about the Lord Jesus Christ. So both in Rome, the most powerful city on earth at that time, the center of the Roman Empire, and by extension with his written letters or epistles, the apostle continued to have an impact for the kingdom of God.